want to take us back to the reading today from 1 Peter and hear again a few words from the Apostle. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumbled because they disobeyed the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. I knew a living stone once. His name was Mr. Jack Proctor. Mr. Jack Proctor had been the trustee chair and the administrative council chair and the PPR chair and the finance chair. He had served on every major board and committee at Temperance Hall United Methodist Church. And while I was the pastor there, he was on the board of trustees as its chair. A very powerful, a very influential man, a very important man for the life of that community there at Temperance Hall and in the church there at Temperance Hall United Methodist. He was a wonderful saint and a friend of mine, and I can remember during the summer months when we had problems at the parsonage and I was living out there all the time instead of going back and forth from Durham to school, I would stay with Mr. Proctor in his home with he and his wife, and it was a wonderful home, and it was made out of the cobblestone rocks that came off of his property, and he himself had made it. He was a wonderful craftsman. He loved to build things with rock and mortar. And I can remember the day when I was looking at the church sign out in front of the church and saying to Mr. Proctor, you know, Jack, we need to get a new sign. This sign is falling apart. Its base is crumbling. The wood is beginning to become rotten. The lettering on the sign is beginning to fade. We really need to get a new church sign so that people, when they drive by on Highway 17, will be able to look and see that this is Temperance Hall United Methodist Church. And Mr. Jack said, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Y'all know people like that. To him, it wasn't broken. Well, one day, not long after I got there, it was maybe early June, happened to be in the middle of what for them was tornado season in eastern North Carolina. I can remember we had this major thunderstorm coming. It was a hot, muggy day, you know. You walk from you leave your house, you're nice and dry and clean, and you walk from the house door to the car. By the time you get to the car, you're delivered covered in sweat. You know, it's one of those hot, humid days, and it's 90 degrees and 90% humid. A real sticky, icky day, and the storm clouds were raging, and you could see the lightning flashing in the distance, and we were suddenly under a tornado watch, and then we went under tornado warning as a small tornado, a really tiny little twister, was spotted not too far from us. And I was at the church, and I stood there, and I caught sight of the tiny little twister in the distance. And, you know, today I'm stupid. Several years ago, when a tornado came through Dallas, I can remember driving up to the top of Chalk Hill and Oak Cliff and looking out down on the interstate and watching on Interstate 30 as it was coming right for me. And talking to Mom on the telephone, and she's telling me, get out of there! And I'm sitting there going, oh, it's neat, Mom, look at that. I was stupid then. Now, then I was smart. North Carolina, when I saw the tiny little twister in the distance, I got in my car and went the opposite direction as fast as I could to get away out of the path. I came back to the church several minutes later after it had gone through, and sure enough, the church was fine. Sign was demolished. In fact, you couldn't see it anywhere, and we finally found the remains of the wooden part of the sign out in the field somewhere, kind of twisted and broken. Mr. Jack Proctor came out and looked at it with me, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he says, "Well, Brother Greg, it's broke. Time for a new sign. You must have planned that." "No, I didn't plan it, Mr. Jack." The next day, when I drove by the church, he was out there with a whole pickup truck load of cobblestone rocks from his field. Out there with some mortar, laying a new foundation for the church sign. I thought to myself, "Oh, this is great. Who are we going to get to build the wooden part of the sign that'll have the name of the church and the worship times and whatnot on it?" But I didn't bother to ask him that because I figured, you know, being chair of the trustees, he'd already, you know, prepared all that. And sure enough, he had. When he finished making the foundation, I came back by there and found that he had taken the old sign that had been twisted, he repaired it, and put it back on the new foundation. And I really didn't like that. I said, "Mr. Jack, why couldn't we have got a better, nicer sign?" And he said, "Brother Greg, it ain't broke anymore." Oh, I stumbled that day. I stumbled because what I wanted didn't happen. I stumbled because what I thought it should be like, it wasn't. I stumbled because what I thought should be done wasn't done. I wanted the cross inflamed. I wanted the flame to be red. But it was black. I wanted the lettering to be bigger and newer, and he just traced over the old lettering as it was. He did it just as it had been, but better. I wanted my way. I stumbled because I didn't get it. You know, we all do that at times. We all stumble because we think our way is the way it should be. We stumble because we think what we want is the way things have to be, because that's certainly what I want. It must be what God wants, right? No. Listen to what the apostle says again. "To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall." When have you stumbled on your own failure to obey the word? When have you stumbled on your own inability to listen to God's voice and not your own? When did you last stumble doing good works for the wrong reasons? Take a look around you. Around you, you see today in process a labor of love. I want every person who physically worked in this sanctuary and on saws with nails and hammers and paintbrushes to stand. Please stand. Every one of you. Now just remain standing. Now everyone who helped with food, please stand. Women, those of you who helped with food, please stand. Any who helped with finances or supplies, please stand. Several more of you need to stand because you've given money to this church. I think all of you need to stand because you've given money to this church. Everybody please stand. Look around yourself. Every one of you have engaged in a labor of love here. You may be seated. You've engaged in a labor of love in making a platform, in repairing and painting walls, in working on trim, in preparing to lay carpet. Every one of you in some way took a role in that, through prayers, through presence, through gifts, and through service. But you know what? If you did it for the wrong reason, you just made a stumbling block. Next Sunday, when the carpet's down, next Sunday when we can celebrate even more the completion of a lot of work which is currently in process, it'll become even more evident. Because if we don't do anything but come in here and sit down and say, "Oh, what a beautiful job, how great and wonderful," we'll be stumbling over our works. Why did you put your labor into this sanctuary? Why did you do this labor of love? Why did you contribute here? Was it for your own edification? Was it for the beautification of the sanctuary, for your own ends, or for God's ends? Why are you here? For your own end or for God's end? My friends, I challenge you. Don't let the labor of love that has been done thus far and that is yet to be done, don't let the labor of love that has been done here become a stumbling block for you. We have worked hard to lay a foundation of love here. We built on something that was already here, and we will build again. But don't let it stop with the building. I challenge you to go out to your neighbors, to go out to your friends, to go out to people that you know who do not have a church home, who are not comfortable in the home that they supposedly claim is their own. To go to them and to say, we want to welcome you to our church home. We make this a pretty sanctuary, a comfortable place to come and worship for one reason only. Make it more inviting for people who do not know Christ. To make it more inviting for people who are searching for a church home. To make it more inviting so that we can feel as though we can welcome anybody to come here and to sit next to us. I challenge you to go out tomorrow and in the days and weeks to come and turn this foundation of love, this labor of love that we have done here on this platform, on the walls, turn this foundation of love into a wonderful, wonderful work for God's glory. Turn this foundation of love from a potential stumbling block into a wonderful proclamation. For you see, you were once not God's people, but now you are God's people. You once didn't receive mercy. Now you have received mercy, and you've been called and you have been sent here to build on a foundation with a labor of love so that it might be inviting and welcoming to others. I challenge you. Don't sit down and rest and say, it's done. No. The labor of love has just begun. Next week, when the carpet is down, don't sit down and say, it's done. Say, the labor of love has just begun. Don't allow this to become a stumbling block. Build on the foundation. I saw that sign that Mr. Jack put back on and repaired and put up onto that wonderful cobblestone foundation. And I stumbled because it wasn't the way I wanted it. Don't stumble. My friends, don't come in and sit down and say, whew, it's done. No, it's not done. It's just begun. Even when the pew cushions are done and everything is finished and everything is perfect, supposedly, it won't be done. It won't be done because the pew next to you is empty. It won't be done because there's someone out there who hasn't heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. It won't be done because we still have a mission. And the building is simply a means to that end. It's, if you will, a means of grace. Communion isn't its own end. It's a means of grace. The scriptures aren't its own end. The scriptures are a means of grace. Singing hymns isn't just for fun. It's a means of grace. Praying isn't just to make noises in the air. It's for a means of grace. This building isn't just a place to come and sit. It's a place to invite friends to, so that they too might come to know Jesus. Don't let the labor of love that we have done here become a stumbling block. Extend the labor of love. Reach out to those around you with the good news of Jesus. You were once not a people. God has made you his people. As the people of God, having received mercy, go out from this foundation and invite your brothers and sisters in. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.